Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This very interview took place live inside the Influencer Vault. If you want to learn more about becoming a member so that you can see the video of this interview and a lot more and be a part of weekly interviews that take place and have opportunities at your fingertips to speak, write, and be interviewed, go visit theinfluencervault.com today and sign up to get your free gift, and then you'll be directed to the website to learn more about the Influencer Vault. Hello, everybody. I'm so excited to be back with the latest edition of the show. I'm so excited as well to have a brand new guest here. Our listeners, regular listeners especially, know that I love introducing new guests to our audience, and this is no exception. So, Ken Honda, I'm so excited to have you here today. And Ken, where we usually like to start is to get our guests just to tell us just a snapshot or a little bit about themselves. And I always say, don't worry about how much or how little, because we'll dive in deeper anyway. But can you just tell us, for those that are discovering you for the first time today, just a little bit about who you are?
Thank you, Corey. To begin with, I so appreciate you for inviting me. And this is a great opportunity for me to have a chat with you. And also, I hope I can be of any support for your viewers and listeners. So I'm my name is Ken Honda. I'm a writer, and I'm a speaker. And until 2 years ago, most of my stuff was in Japanese and in Japan. So I have published more than 200 books and sold about 8 million copies. And since 2019, I published a book, English book, Happy Money. And it's been out in 40 different countries in 15 or 16 different languages now. And almost all my career, I have taught people how to have better and healthier relationship with money. I have an accounting consulting background, and I retired when I was 29 for my baby girl with my wife, which is almost 23 years ago. And in the 4 years of semi-retirement, I got this inspiration to write. You know, I was a law major student and I was doing consulting. So writing was not really my forte, but I had so much inspiration on writing on happiness and money. And I never thought I could write, but I did write my first book. And after my first book, the second book and the third book idea came right in. And since then, I have published almost bi-monthly over the past 20 years, and which is amazing. And I still keep writing. So it's almost like my addiction. My father was an alcoholic. I didn't take over that. So my healthier hobby is a writing addiction. My fingers and hands tremble when I don't write.
Wow. I mean, there's so much to unpack there and dig into there, Ken. And I can appreciate what you just said there as well, because my father was an alcoholic as well. My grandfather was an alcoholic. My mother is a recovered alcoholic. My girlfriend's a recovered alcoholic. So
you know what I'm talking about, right?
100%. So by every indication, in theory, I probably should have been an alcoholic. And like you, I didn't get that addiction, but I certainly, I've been a speaker for a number of years and a writer. And I would say those are my addictions. To your point, whenever I'm not doing them, I get kind of antsy, like, what's going on? You know, I need to dive into something. And we even started publishing compilation books, like anthology books, so that I would still be in the writing business, even between whenever I was writing my own book. So I totally get it. I just want to say I can
relate. So you are my soul brothers, you know, from a different mother and on a different side of the planet.
100%. Well, first thing I want to dive into is what you said there about how many books you've written, and then decided to now tackle writing in the English world, you know, writing your first English book. How hard was that to make that transition? Because that doesn't seem like an easy couple of minute overnight thing.
Mm-hmm. So writing for me in Japanese is very easy. It's almost like taking a walk. So I write and I breathe, you know, I sleep. So that's as natural as that in me. But doing other languages could be tough. You know, for me, doing something in English is a little scary. So I was well established, and I don't have to do this. And people just, my friends tease me, why do you go overseas and, you know, get embarrassed about your poor English or whatever that is, you know? I'm so happy here. But something inside me kept inspiring me that, you know, I have impacted millions of people here. And what if my book gets translated into different language, and if I started teaching, the impact would be? And I just couldn't stop this curiosity. What would it happen? And also, after writing my book, first book in English, I started meeting great people like yourself, Corey, that with a podcast and all different TV programs. I've been interviewed by so many great and generous people. And until then, I never knew there are so many beautiful people out there. So just meeting somebody like you was worth it. It was very hard, but it was worth it for all the effort.
So there's a couple of things I wanted to ask you as well in this regard. Mm-hmm. One, I wanted to ask what the reception to the book has been like, because again, it is the first kind of venture in this direction. But also mm-hmm. I noticed when I was on your website that we have similar contacts and similar mm-hmm. associates. And so I was wondering, the people that have been commenting on your work, have they been exposed to your work since you put out the first English book, or were they exposed to it before, the ones that have talked about the work that you did? So for example, on your website, I noticed some of either my mutual friends or people I've interviewed over the years. So John mm-hmm. Gray, Jack yes. Canfield, Lisa Nichols. We recently just interviewed Dr. Sue Mortar. I think I saw Marcy Shimoff was.
Yes.
And so I'm just wondering, how did they get introduced to your work, I guess, in the first place?
Yeah, so my friend and my mentor, Janet Atwood, who is the creator of the Passion Test.
Absolutely.
She found me in Japan, and I was happy in Japan. One day, my friend translated her book, Passion Test, into Japanese. So I was invited as a guest to her seminar. And a few seconds after we met, Janet said, "Ken, what's your dream?" And I said, "My wildest dream would be to translate all my books in English to, and also start traveling overseas." And Janet said, "You're in." And I said, "What am I in?" And she said, "There is a group, Transformational Leadership Council, which all the names that you mentioned are member of." And they said, and she said, "They're great people. And many of them were in the movie Secret 10 years ago. And okay, that sounds very interesting. And then she invited me to the group, and I joined, and which is 5 or 6 years ago. And since then, I became very close to those great minds, and they've been helping me so much with my first book, because I knew nobody in English world. But now it's because of my relationship with Jack Canfield and John Gray and all the other great people. My book is out there, and we sold about a few hundred thousand copies already. So I'm very happy that my dream is becoming true, and sharing what I know about happy money and how to transform your financial life into a happy one is my bliss. I always find so much joy in helping people transform their relationship with money.
Amazing. Well, you answered my other question in terms of how's the book been doing as well. And mm-hmm. I was going to add, I believe in synchronicity versus coincidences, but it's mm-hmm. funny, just today, I'm in a different time zone than you, of course, but just 6 hours ago, I was interviewing Dr. Joe Vitale, of course.
Oh, really?
The member of the Transformational yes. Leadership Council. And then 2 weeks ago, we interviewed Bobby DePorter, who was also at CLC. Anyway, so it's just amazing, such a small world, but it's amazing how powerful that group is, you know, considering yes. It's not a group with like 50,000 people in it, mm-hmm. but it's amazing how much work has been impacted people's lives through that group. So just kind of, it's cool. I always love to know the how, and it's kind of neat to see how just, and this is a key thing there too. You didn't know that you're going to meet Janet. You didn't kind of set that up and say, I want to meet this person that's going to do this. It's so amazing how, when we just go out and put ourselves out there and let the universe do the work, people mm-hmm. will show up in our lives for the right reason. So imagine if you didn't meet her, your book might not even be in English right now, or it might not have sold that hundreds of thousands of copies. It's amazing.
Yes. So, love hearing you that. You said it so beautiful, Corey, that I was almost guided into this because, you know, I was, I'm learning new vocabulary in English. I was a happy camper in Japan. You know, I was very happy. All my books are bestsellers. I have enough money, you know, to live, and I had many friends. So I didn't have to go out of Japan because for me, doing something in North America could be a little scary. I heard all the scary stories that people sue you, you know, people shoot you if you don't like your books. Really, you know, and some of maybe a little bit true, but exaggerated, right? So like all the horror stories, I like watching, you know, detective movies and on Netflix, and people die in parking lots. So I'm still, I have this phobia in American parking lots because, you know, some either zombie or bad people will attack me. Right, you know? So, right. So I had all the horror in me, but still my curiosity just won over my fear.
Wow. Amazing. And so the book itself, so let's dive into the book a little bit as well for those mm-hmm. that are hearing about you for the first time or hearing your story. Can you mm-hmm. tell people what the book is about? Like, I know we didn't even talk about what the book is about and what people can expect or learn from it. So can you dive in a little bit to the book itself, Ken?
Thank you. So my first book in English is called Happy Money. And happy money is money that makes you smile when you receive it and also gives you joy when you spend it. Whereas I don't have to really explain about unhappy money because we're living in the flow. When we receive a check, we feel frustrated and we feel tense and start worrying like, is this enough to pay all the bills at the end of the month? And when we pay bills, when pay at the restaurant or pay buy something on Amazon, we feel like squeezed and we feel a resentment and anger over the envelope the bill is in it. And then we get upset over the taxes we have to pay. So any money that gives you trouble or resentment, anger, worries, fear, anxiety, that's unhappy money. And unfortunately, most of us are living in the flow of this unhappy money in the world.
And then now the other side is, and I don't know if this is revealing a secret within the book, but when uh-huh. you talk about happy money, because to me, so when I hear that, I agree completely. Most people uh-huh. are living in that flow of unhappy money. So when you talk about happy money, and I'm just reaching from nowhere, mm-hmm. Is that passive income when you're talking about that it's working for us? Is it just a different perception we have when we're getting that money and sharing that money? Like, I'm just curious if it's something.
Okay, yes. So let me talk about my meeting with this mysterious woman some years ago. I met this Japanese woman at the party in Japan, and she asked me if she could take a look at my wallet. And those days, you know, people were curious about celebrities' wallet, and wouldn't be curious that what kind of wallet Justin Bieber has, and you know, your president, and there are many magazine articles on that. So I said, okay, as long as she doesn't run away with it, Japan is very safe. So she took my wallet and then she took out all the bills out and she was checking something. And she said, this is great. Oh, this is wonderful. And she put them back all in and she handed over back to me. And she said, Ken, all your money is good. And then I said, what do you mean by all my money is good? And she said, Ken, your money is smiling in your wallet. That means you have made a lot of people happy and received the money. And I said, oh, that's good news. And she said, on the other hand, if you are taking advantage of other people, or if you're doing what you don't like, your money is crying in your wallet, or sometimes angry in your wallet. I said, Wow, that's an interesting concept. I've never thought about it. And she introduced herself as psychic. She sees things that other people don't see. And then she walked away. And I was in the middle of the conversation with other people. So I didn't care at the time. But when I went back to the hotel, you know, kind of like I went deep into thinking like yourself, Corey, that, you know, my mind is smiling. That's good news. And I was thinking of my friend like you, Corey, your money is smiling in your wallet. Definitely, I can feel that because you're enjoying what you do. And other people, maybe he's doing a hedge fund. His money is not smiling in his wallet. So since then, I realized that whatever the money touches you and makes you feel good, that's happy money. And whatever the money touches you and makes you feel, ooh, that's unhappy money. So my definition is very simple. It does not really matter how much money you make or how much money you have. If your relationship is good with money, that's happy money. And I know millionaires and billionaires, and I'm sure you do too. And some of them are very miserable. And I know there's a man, a friend of mine who's almost close to homeless, you know, like a step before the homeless situation. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't have much money. But he gets by because he has many friends and he seems pretty happy. And I know his bank account is zero or maybe minus, but he doesn't seem to care because his friends and family is always, they take good care of him. So who is happier? And I think the person with a happier money is a happy person. So don't worry about, you know, increasing your asset, flipping over investments and forget about it. It's how you feel about money.
And so the book itself, and again, I don't want to reveal too much more about the book, but
it's okay because I just want to share the content. So it doesn't really matter people buy the book or not, but if they get the idea from the book, I'm super happy. You know, I sold more than 8 million copies, so I don't care as much of my next book sells or not. It's being all selling already. So please feel free. I'm happy to share whatever you want to know.
Okay, well, I wanted to dive into something you just said about the idea of a person being happy, maybe with nothing, versus a person being happy, beyond unhappy with seemingly what we all seem to want. But I want to ask you within the book itself, so does it teach you, it sounds like, and I might be wrong, it sounds like it teaches you how to be happy with your money versus how to make more of it. Is that correct?
You're so right. In North America, I've done some seminars and when I visit like some countries in Europe and China, you know, people ask me different questions. In North America, people tend to ask me, hey, Ken, how can I be rich? You know, how can I make more money? So they're interested in doing more, being more, and more and more and more. But in Japan, for example, people often ask me, Ken, how can I satisfy myself with what I have? So the approach is a little bit different. So if you keep wanting more, unless you know exactly how much is enough, you get stuck in this hell of wanting more. Because I know a person who makes $100,000 a year and still he doesn't feel good about himself because all his friends are making twice as much. And if you reach $1 million income goal, you don't feel so happy because his other friends have private jets, right? And even if you buy a private jet, my friend complains, his plane only seats 6 people. So he gets depressed whenever his car pulls over in this special air terminal for private jets. He feels so small because all the other planes are so huge and his is very, very tiny, right? So he feels like the smallest at that parking lot. So you have to really draw a line, how much is enough for you. And unless you don't feel I have more than enough, you feel miserable.
Well, it's interesting you say that because, you know, when you're looking at your plane smaller than the rest, you're not then looking at the vast majority of the world that doesn't have a plane, right? You're not looking at that parking lot, because that parking lot, there's not many planes at all. You know, if you look at the vast span of the world and how many people don't have planes, and you go into that parking lot, it's pretty empty. But but having said that, it's a similar thing that I was going to share. We had a lady on the show recently, and I mean, I didn't get into her personal wealth, and it's, you know, not my business to, but I know she's done quite well, and she shared that. She was the heiress to a really large company that was launched in the 20s and had a lot of success. And then she married a person who had a company that right now I know the net worth is $8 billion. And he passed not so long ago. She said, I'm comfortable. You know, I was taken care of. And so she's financially comfortable, but she actually decides to live in a one bedroom apartment in between two other. She said, the person on the right side of me is a police officer, and the person on the next side, I think, as she said, is a teacher or a librarian. Mm-hmm. And she said, I know what you're probably thinking. Like, why wouldn't I be living in the big wide estate and mansion? And she said, because we certainly did whenever I was married to my husband. And she said, but being on my own, she said, and I think she's 82. She said, being single and on my own, she said, that seems so boring and so much work to take care of that size estate. She goes, this is so exciting. She said, I'm hanging out with a female police chief, you know, and talking to her. And she said, this is exciting. I get to meet so many cool people. But she's so happy with life. And and she said, you know, financially, I could live wherever I want to live, and I choose to live here. But she's so happy living in that one bedroom apartment. Now, here's the irony to that. She said her and her husband, one of their friends sold his business, and he ended up buying like a $150 million boat. And she said they went on it, and they were just like, because they'd never bought a boat, so they were just like, this is amazing. This is like Carnival Cruise type boat of his. And she said they went on the boat, and one of the workers, she said, where can we find him? And they said, oh, he's out in the back, sitting at the back. And they went out back, and there he was leaping through a magazine of big boats. And she said, oh, are you looking to see if your boat's in there? He goes, no, I'm getting kind of depressed because mine's not big enough. $150 million boat isn't big enough. But it goes back to your point, right? He was automatically thinking, maybe I should have bought the $200 million boat.
And then when you're sailing, there's another bigger one just kind of sailing, just passing through, right? So if you compare with other people, that's a shortcut to hell. So it's not just about money, but compare with how you look, you know, thin or fat or like tall, or what kind of hair or your skin color. You know, if you just start comparing with other people, you lose a peace of mind. So the most important asset you can own is to be content with yourself. So I teach Zen philosophy, and the key to happiness is find this neutral place, not too much, not too little. If you have very little money, you also suffer too. But if you have too much, you also suffer too. So how much is enough for you? And if you know exactly how much, you are the happiest person on planet. And at least you don't have to be worried about money, and you can follow your heart. So by doing what you love without any limitations is a very happy place. So I hope all the viewers who are just watching this, like, you know, I want you to start thinking, how much is enough for you?
So now here's this is more of a financial question, I guess, but when you say, you know, how much is enough, are you factoring in, for example, so some people would say, okay, well, I want to have enough that I never have to work again. Some people would say, like you said, too little might be, okay, if I don't get paid this week, I'm not going to eat. But I guess my question is the happy medium, like, do you think it's something like making sure you have 2 years of, you always hear this stuff about a year or 2 years of income put away, so that if you lost your job or you didn't get that contract or you didn't get that client, you wouldn't be starving tomorrow. Is there, like, you feel there's, and I know it's different for everybody, but is that what you're driving at? Like, is that person also factoring in, do I have enough to have peace of mind for the next year or two in case something happens?
So I'm teaching both money IQ and money EQ. Money IQ is teaching exactly how to do that. And money EQ teaches you how to find peace. So I have a different answer to different people. Okay. But what I'm teaching is your financial security, you don't have it in your bank account. Because if you have, say, $10,000, is that enough For some people, yes, but for most people, that's not enough. How about $100,000? How about $500,000? And how about $1 million? Still some people don't feel safe at all. So it's not just the number. You know, the reason why I'm not worried about money at all is that, you know, I don't have any debt, but even if I lose everything and I go bankrupt, I have so many friends. The other day I calculated how many numbers for friends I have, and I have about 70 some people, and I stopped counting. And I realized that if I visit with my friend number one, 1 week, and the second week, my friend number two, and after about 50 weeks, we have only 52 weeks in a year. So I can come back to my friend number one and say, how are you doing? By doing that, I'm a financially independent guy. So I don't need any money for the rest of my life because I have enough great friends who are going to offer me a place to stay and whatever I need. So that way I don't have to worry about it. So have good friends, especially financially comfortable friends. You know, I have already a few of them. So they're not going to let me fall if I just lose everything. So your financial security lies in friendship and families rather than bank, because, you know, bank could betray you. You could get shut down. And also you worry about that as well, right? Once I mention it. So, you know, people might buy gold or block, cryptocurrency, whatever that is. It's not bringing you security. The real feeling is like people will support you. My friends love me enough, so I'm gonna be okay. So you have to change the mindset about wealth and money. Unfortunately, in the West, people tend to think that on your own, you know, and it's not. I don't want to blame people in the West because they were brainwashed that way. You know, we've been separated from our friends, and we're supposed to take tests, right? Alone, we're not allowed a group test. You know, this year, you know, and we get grace if we pass the test, we all passed. You know, so like we just group up with five people and then take the exam. Our real world is that way, you know, in the companies, you know, we work with four or five as a team. But somehow in school, academic world, we have to play, you know, a lonely man. And it's not a healthy thing to do. So we think our bank account is also a one man or one woman job. So I always suggest if you worry about money, think of creating a joint account with your wealthiest friends. And in your mind, you know, you just think of like three or four friends in your, you know, iPhones, a friend just kind of look over and then, okay, I decided to create a joint account with my friend and just see how it makes you feel. Like, okay, I don't have much money in the bank, but I don't probably have to worry about it for a little while, right?
Wow. So I have to say, I didn't tell you this at the beginning, mm-hmm. but I've done over 6,500 interviews, mm-hmm. and I've never heard that perspective until this minute. You know, the idea yes. of like, and it even shuddered a peace of mind through me because I started thinking about all the interviews I've done and all the people who I've promoted them over and over and over again and become friends with and stuff like that, and started going, wow, you know, what is my, what would you call it? My net worth, like my network net worth. You know, like in terms of going, when I look at my whole network, what is that worth comparison to what I might bring in this month? Because mm-hmm. of the fact, like you said it, even if I had to switch gears and go into a different business model, mm-hmm. I don't lose those contacts. I don't lose the background. I don't lose the nice testimonials that people have shared about me that I can use for the next business. But yeah, I mean, and I'm not thinking even like in the sense that it has to be, how do I make money again? But it is a kind of a nice comforting feeling thinking, you know what, I have all of this that I can tap into beyond, can I turn money around again in a week? Mm. So I love that perspective. I haven't heard that in, like I say, going on probably 7,000 interviews. So, wow.
Thank you. That's a compliment I often get. And, you know, I have sold 8 million copies. You know, people love my ideas because they always find something new in my books. So the ideas I'm bringing to the West maybe not familiar because I'm using Zen approach. So a lot of people say, Ken, I never thought of money that way. And I really enjoy it because when you take a look at money from that perspective, your net worth is probably 100 times bigger than what you think, because you always think in terms of the numbers in the bank account. Mm-hmm. You know, I teach people about invisible asset as well. Invisible asset is something that doesn't show up on a balance sheet. But think of your friendship, think of the bonding, think of the trust that you have built over the years. That's what I call invisible asset. And it can be turned into cash later on if you want to. There are some techniques to that. But you don't have to cash in because you can keep it as it is without destroying that relationship. So like, for example, think of my network and with John Gray or Jack Canfield and others. I'm not exploiting them, right? They're so happy to give me endorsement and I really enjoy receiving it. So it's almost like money. By endorsing me, they don't get anything, but they get the joy of helping Ken Honda, right? And because I'm so overjoyed with their support. So they feel good, I feel good, and I receive so much financial value from being endorsed by those great minds. And I also want to give back to them when I have an opportunity. So this beautiful network is so priceless. But people don't take it into consideration. So think of all the invisible assets you have. And some has cash value, others don't. Like your quality time with your kids, with your partner, you know, you don't sell it out, right? But it's so precious, because when we die, we will just think of the invisible assets and then the precious moments only for you. It's not for sale. But those precious moments are priceless. So in life, if you keep creating that precious moment like that, I think it's an abundant person. So don't try to trade your time and energy with just numbers in the bank account, because it could bring a lot of joy, but I think the value of cash is overrated.
I love it. So Ken, my last, I'm going to call it official question, and then my mm-hmm. unofficial question is going to be simply how we can learn more. But mm-hmm. my last unofficial question, or I'll correct that, my last official question is the only one I've actually planned today, because it's the one question I ask every guest we bring onto the show. So mm-hmm. otherwise than that, everything is kind of, I go with the flow. But this question I like to ask everybody, because I've asked it so many times and I love the different responses, mm-hmm. but it's called the time machine question. And mm-hmm. so it's simply, if you could jump into a time machine, if they did exist, go back and talk to a younger Ken and give him some life advice based on what you've learned in the mm-hmm. years since. What do you think you might tell younger Ken?
Thank you. I've done my homework, so I actually started thinking about it like some days ago when I got to know about you. So if I go back like 10, 20 years and grab my young Ken Honda, I'd say worry less and have fun more, because I tend to worry. I mean, I think every one of us worries more than necessary. So worry maybe like 50% less, and then 50 more fun in life. And if you keep doing that, one day you'll find an incredible future that you can't even imagine. But I'm not going to spoil it. So that is something I would say. And then I'll just keep smiling at him and he'll know. He'll get the message from me.
Wow. Love it. And so, Ken, I said the unofficial question is mm-hmm. essentially, how can we learn more? So people have been listening to this conversation. They love the sound of the book. They want to get the new book, or I shouldn't say new mm-hmm. book. They want to get the book. And and do you have another book coming out in the near future? I know you said you write a lot of books. So, or will it yes. translate from that you've already written? So I guess mm-hmm. one question is, what's the future look like for Ken? And then the uh-huh. second thing is, where would you send people if they want to learn more about the book or more about your work?
Thank you. I'm a prolific writer. So I keep a new book keep popping up from my head. So I will start doing that in English as well sometime in 2022. All the information you can find at kenhonda.com. All the English information is there. You can check your money personality type. You know, there's a spender, a hoarder, and a money maker, a gambler, saver warrior, you know, you just you can check all the questions, and then it'll tell you who you are. And I will start. I actually started this English community, Arigato Living, and people from more than 10 different countries have joined so far. I have the largest, one of the largest online salon in Japan. I have about 12,000 membership, and people gather all over from Japan. I studied the same one in English. So at the starting point, we have about 500 people. So I just want to create more community in this world, English speaking world. So if people feel the call, I teach every month, and I charge people only $8.88. It's a fun number.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it sounds like a fun number.
Yeah, so anybody can join from any part of the world. So please join us if you are interested in this happy money idea. I love sharing more, and most of that I do online right now, but hopefully I want to see you in person. And I want to see you in person too, Corey. You're such a wonderful, generous person. And no wonder you're so successful, because your heart speaks to so many people. So it's my privilege to be invited to your show. And thank you for taking care of my great friends.
Again, this interview was from theinfluencervault.com. Come and join us as a member inside the Influencer Vault to see how we can help you up-level your game, become an expert sooner, and become an influencer today rather than tomorrow. Again, theinfluencervault.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.